was a fast hour. So much happening this week. Jeff Breidich, Gonzo, Teddy Bridgewater, Enzo, draft tomorrow's Okay, all right, stop with that. Texter says, you were saying an MVP's team shouldn't get blown out. Yeah, that's what the Warriors have basically done to the Nuggets. False. Three games. Nuggets won the first one. They lost by 9 in the second one, and they lost by 20. Was it bad that they lost to Golden State? Yeah, they should have beat Golden State. Both of those games, they should have beat Golden State. Whatever it is about Golden State, they have Denver's number. But you're going to tell me that just because they had one bad game against Golden State, which was the most recent one, I'll give you that, they were blown out by Golden State? Like, that happens. What I'm saying, Colfax, is the Mavs went on a 28-0 run last night when Golden State absolutely needed a win. They were in ninth place. They're fighting for that spot. That loss dropped them to 10th, and they let a Mavericks team they're good. You know, they're a playoff team, but the Mavs went off on a 28-0 run. You mean to tell me an MVP lets that happen? You think LeBron James lets that happen if he's healthy? I don't think so, man. I think he says, give me the ball. Everybody else get the hell out of the way. I'm going to the rim. I don't care if it kills me. I think you get the same thing with the Joker. My whole point is, I don't see that. That was an abysmal performance. Like, you saying sure, losing to Golden State by 20 and 9 happens. Absolutely that happens. But losing by 30 and going on allowing a team to go on a 28-0 run? A little different story there. I'm just saying, guys, Joker's the MVP. Curry's not the MVP. I have all the weapons at my disposal. I have all the information at my disposal. Joker's a 3-stat guy. Curry is a 1-stat guy. As a point guard, he should be a 2-stat guy. Joker's a center, and he's a 3-stat guy. Plays better defense than Rachel Nichols or anybody at ESPN gives him credit for. And his team's number 4, and they're dangerously close to approaching number 3, maybe number 2, maybe even number 1. Golden State will be lucky if they can maintain that status and somehow get into the playoffs. They are number 10 right now. They should get into that 10th spot. They are 4 games ahead of the Pelicans. Nuggets got the Pelicans tonight. So, Pelicans win. Yeah, they make things interesting. But Golden State's now sitting at 10. 13.5 games back from first place. That's just my point. I mean, yeah, McLean, you're right. Jokic checks all boxes. No one else does. That's who I want as my MVP. He checks all boxes. He elevates his team. He's a 3-stat guy. He makes everybody better. And so on and so forth. So, I don't understand this whole Curry thing. I'm not sure. Texter, the 9-point loss was really a blowout after being outscored by 20-plus in the third. Score ends the way the score ends, man. I mean, I'm not saying that was a good loss, but let's not pretend that 20 points is like that major of a blowout. My biggest thing wasn't necessarily the 30-point loss. It was a 28-0 run. Dixon says, where was Joker late in the Boston game? I mean, now you're getting nitpicky. You're answering your own questions. When you get nitpicky about a guy and you're like all over his every move, every game he plays, doesn't that mean, okay, he's the MVP? Because this is what we do to LeBron. This is what we do to LeBron James. This is what we did to Steph Curry when he won his MVP titles. We said, oh yeah, but where was he that second Tuesday in November? Where was he that one time in December? I mean, think about what you're saying. Where was he in that game? Oh, where was he in this game? Like I said, there's 72 games, and you got a guy that 90% of the time is absolutely thrilling. I mean, yes, against Boston, he had a triple-double. Do those not count anymore, or are those just for Westbrook? 17 points, 11 assists, 10 boards. I'm not saying it was a good game. You got smoked in that game against Boston. It happens. Okay. My point is 28-0 run. And this was a must-win game for Golden State if they want to improve their chances. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. We can make these arguments all the time, but the bigger thing is 28-0 run. It's like historic, isn't it? It's crazy. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. There are bad games. There are, yes, you're right when you say it happens. But I'm talking about crunch time. We are in crunch time now. We are at that stage in the season where every game is just a little bit more important than the last. Yes, that Boston game was in April, was early April. But now you're getting to this point where, all right, you have to be there. Now, if you're trying to compare right now, you're trying to compare the Nuggets' bad losses to Golden State, you're wrong. You're just wrong. It's not the same thing. Denver is a 40-plus win team. The Golden State Warriors are a 500 team with 30 wins. So, yes, the Nuggets are 20 games over 500. Golden State is 500. So you're going to compare the Nuggets drop-offs because, by the way, Joker, for a big man, plays more minutes than anybody in the league. He looked fried a few times. It happens to all of them. But if you're going to compare the Nuggets' collapses to Golden State, there's a difference. The Nuggets are still one of the best teams that once in a while a collapse happens. Golden State can't afford collapses. They are fighting for their playoff lives. The Nuggets are just fighting for seeding. They're fighting for 3, 2, or 1. Golden State's trying to get in. If you're going to compare the two, what are we doing here? You got one MVP candidate that's trying to become the best team in the Western Conference. You got the other one that's just trying to get a play-in game. What do we got here, McLean? Stats from March. In April he basically averaged a triple-double, but I guess that doesn't mean anymore. If you get a triple-double in a game and you lose, then if you didn't have 25-plus points, then you say Joker didn't show up. See? Your like expectations now are suddenly unrealistic. He got a triple-double, but it wasn't good enough, Colfax. Wasn't good enough for me. Stats from, I don't know what impression that was. Stats from March, he averaged 27 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 8.6 assists per game, 1.6 steals per game, field goal percentage was 57, his three-point percentage at 7 foot was 42%. His free throw percentage was 86%, averaging 36 minutes per game. I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here? Am I really doing this anymore? No, I'm not doing it anymore. There's no argument when it comes to the NBA MVP. I mean, this is you're out of your gourd. There's a lot of things that I'm willing to meet in the middle on. This is not one of them. Again, are you really comparing Golden State and Denver? Well, yeah, Denver has collapses too. But they are one of the best teams in the NBA. Do we do the same thing for the LeBron and the Lakers then? If they lose to a bad team? The Clippers just lost to the Pelicans the other night. Good teams lose. And you know what? They're good, so it doesn't bother us as much. If you're an average team and you get smoked, it bothers you. Now you have a chance of not making the playoffs. Get out of here with that. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. We got to take a break. We got to talk to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater is a Bronco now. Power to Play Sports poll question is, who's the starting quarterback to start the season? Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, or the player that they draft at in the first round? I'm not even saying at number 9 because I don't know. They may move up whoever they draft in that first round. We'll talk about that more. Zach coming up next. Let's get some ideas here. What does this do for the Broncos and number 9 and all that? Coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
13 days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, the Broncos got after it. They did, in fact, get another quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. They traded him for what, like a washing machine or something, man? I mean, it's a pretty good deal for Denver, right?
Yeah, and they're paying him the price of a clothes rack, you know, compared to what some quarterbacks make. And you know, when you take a step back and look at this as just one move, Brady, you have to love it, because what the Broncos did was they brought in an upgrade at the quarterback position, an upgrade to the starter, and an upgrade to the backup position, depending on what role Teddy Bridgewater plays. And like you said, they got him for a sixth-round pick, which is chump change, and they're only paying him $3 million of his $10 million guaranteed. The Broncos wanted to make this move months ago. After not getting Matthew Stafford in a trade, the Broncos tried to get Teddy Bridgewater, but what they couldn't agree on wasn't the compensation. It was how much are the Carolina Panthers going to pay of Teddy Bridgewater's salary. Now it comes out today that they're paying $7 million of the $10 million guaranteed. Broncos only on the hook for three right now. And the Panthers didn't want to pay that much, but as it got closer to the draft and they got Sam Darnold and they realized that, okay, we just don't want Teddy here, they agreed to pay more of that.
What does that say about George Payton and this, I think you talked about it, this calmness around him, this approach where he doesn't jump at every shiny object out there. He's just cool, calm, calculated, and, you know, the Broncos sound like they could have lived without Teddy, but then suddenly the deal happens and they get what they want. I mean, George Payton's on fire.
Yeah, he really is, and you know, it just reminds me of the Kyle Fuller deal. The Broncos could have traded with the Bears to get Kyle Fuller and then paid Kyle Fuller a big salary that he was making, I think around $20 million. It would have been like $13 million that the Broncos would have had to pay if they traded the Bears for him. But nope, they sat back and said, we'll just wait till he gets cut. What happens? Boom, he gets cut. Then they agreed to a deal with the Pro Bowl cornerback about 30 minutes later. That's what George Payton is about. And this move, Brady, it does not take the Broncos out of the first-round quarterback conversation. But what it does is it allows George Payton to sit back and be calm on draft night, not force anything. He's not going to have to give up multiple first-round picks in order to move up to four in order to guarantee themselves a quarterback. This probably takes pressure off the Broncos having to trade up to six in order to get a quarterback. The Broncos can stay put at nine, and if a quarterback they like falls into their lap, well, boom, you make the move. This does not, from what I've heard, this does not take them out of the first-round quarterback talk.
So maybe, Zach, is it fair to say this might take them, this kind of takes them out of trading around to get a quarterback? That may, okay, at nine, if Fields is there, whatever, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, they'll take him. But does it mean that they're probably not going to get too aggressive when it comes to moving up?
Exactly. They're not going to get too aggressive, and that's the best way to put it is if they're in a bidding war, they're probably going to back out in terms of another team. They're going to let another team beat them for that sixth overall pick, and that's probably something that some fans don't want to hear. You know, I want a first-round quarterback in here, but that's the truth. And so it doesn't necessarily take them out of the running to trade up, but it does take them out of the running to trade up to four, but they could still trade up to six. But not if another team is going to be in a bidding war with them. And what I think, Brady, unless there's multiple trades with teams moving into the top 10, I think a quarterback, one of these top five quarterbacks, will be there for the Broncos at nine.
Wow. Now, I certainly feel like, to me, it's kind of setting up like Fields might be there at nine. Zach, I've seen a couple of these mocks today or the last couple of days. And in fact, I was watching an interview with Kyle Pitts today, and he's like, they asked him on Good Morning Football, hey, would you be surprised if the Niners take you at three? And he's like, yeah, I'd kind of be surprised, whatever. He's like, no, but they're going four quarterbacks in the first four rounds. Even Kyle Pitts is saying that. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. Okay, let's say the Niners go Mac Jones. Let's say the Falcons decide to go quarterback rather than Kyle Pitts, and they go with a, you know, they go with a Trey Lance. That would mean Justin Fields is the guy there. Now, the question I have for you, at eight, are the Panthers sure that Sam Darnold is the guy? If Justin Fields is there, what do they do?
Yeah, I would not be surprised if they go quarterback as well at eight. And that's where it gets real dicey, is from six, seven, and eight. Not just because I think that the Panthers could draft a quarterback and that the Lions could draft a quarterback, but specifically seven and eight, that's where you could see the Patriots make a huge jump up. And there's a lot of buzz that the Patriots are falling in love with the quarterback, and many believe that is Justin Fields. And so you're not going to see the Patriots trade. I don't think you're going to see the Patriots trade from 15 to 4, and you're not going to see the Patriots trade from 15 to 6 because the Miami Dolphins are picking 6, and no way are they going to allow the Patriots to get their franchise quarterback within their division. So 7 and 8 is where the Patriots could jump to. And even after this Teddy Bridgewater trade, if I'm the Broncos and George Payton, I'm still making a deal to get to 7, to get to 8. In fact, I'm making a deal to get to 6 in order to get Justin Fields if he's there. And the good news is, the scary news is that the Patriots are willing to move up for a quarterback. The good news is it really does seem like, reports coming out this morning, that that Atlanta will stay put and draft Kyle Pitts at 4, which then guarantees that a quarterback will be there at 6. And it could be any of them. It could be Mac Jones. It could be Justin Fields. It could be Trey Lance. It's going to be two of three of those guys. And from everything I've heard, I think their board would fall something like Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and then Trey Lance. But I think this move for Teddy Bridgewater makes Trey Lance more of a possibility than I thought in the past couple of days, because you don't need Trey Lance to play this year. It wouldn't be Trey Lance or Drew Lock. It would be Trey Lance and Teddy Bridgewater in a competition, with Teddy Bridgewater likely winning this year, giving Trey Lance that time he needs to develop.
Okay, going back to Teddy and Drew Lock. Let's assume it's those two guys. It doesn't fall to Denver. Quarterbacks are gone. Whatever, they go with a defensive guy or something. If it's Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, is your money on Teddy then to win that job? Or let me, that's one part of the question. The other part of the question, Zach, is whose job is it to lose today, assuming the Broncos don't draft a quarterback?
Yeah, I think it would be Teddy Bridgewater's job to lose. And also, I think Teddy Bridgewater would end up winning that job. Look, it's crazy to say this because Teddy's the new guy in town, but look where the connections are with both of these quarterbacks, with who is in place in Denver at the coaching staff and at the front office. George Payton is a Teddy Bridgewater guy. He went up and drafted him. They moved back from the second round to the first round in order to draft Teddy Bridgewater when he was with the Vikings. And then you also have Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator. He wasn't here when the Broncos drafted Drew Lock, but he did spend time back in 2017 and 16 with Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota, and Teddy actually played then on his road back from that terrible injury. So the connections to the coaching staff and the front office are actually with Teddy. And then when you look at Teddy, if Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur are deciding who wins this competition in training camp, which I believe it would be, Teddy Bridgewater is the guy that they're going to favor. He's the more accurate quarterback. He's a guy that turns the ball over less, and he does not make as many mistakes as Drew Lock. So unless Drew Lock really improves and cuts down the turnovers, it's got to be Teddy Bridgewater's job to lose. Let's just look at last year. Teddy had 3,700 yards in 15 games, 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 69.1 completion percentage, a 92 passer rating, and a 64 QBR. All of those numbers are better than what Drew Lock did. Last year, Drew Lock in 13 games, 2,900 yards, 16 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 57% completion, 75 passer rating, and a 48.8 QBR. So if Drew doesn't take a massive step up, well, we know who Teddy Bridgewater is. He's a guy that's going to get you about 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's going to throw over 65% completion. He's certainly not going to win you very many games on his own, but he's not going to lose you very many games. And that is something that's going to be important to this coaching staff, is not losing you those games, because this team for this year is going to be built on defense if it's these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, because if they don't go a quarterback at 9, I think we, you know, most of us kind of agree they're going to go linebacker route, they're going to go cornerback route. We'll see. The key point I think you bring up too is for Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, because that's our question today, is who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos, Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, or whoever they draft in the first round. The key point, though, you said it. I mean, the connection with Teddy Bridgewater, that already, like, instantly puts Drew Lock behind the eight ball because Teddy is... I mean, anytime a new GM comes in, right, Zach, they want their guys. If it was their past guy or their future guy, they're usually going to give the nod to that guy if it's a tie.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And especially with Vic and Pat Shurmur kind of going into a prove-it deal with George Payton. They're going to want the guy that they trust out on the field and they trust that's not going to lose it for them. And that's why I just think that Teddy is going to be that, because he's their guy and he's also a guy that they're going to feel more comfortable with.
I you know what? I really love this move. Whether Teddy Bridgewater works out, you didn't give anything up for him. I mean, a sixth-round pick, and you're not paying much for him. If he doesn't work out, then great. It also does this. I mean, it leaves a more of a question about that quarterback spot. Now, as you said, it doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to go there. They just might not get aggressive going for that quarterback spot. But, boy, this thing is going to be so interesting tomorrow. Zach, we've talked about Kyle Pitts a lot. You brought him up like in that dream scenario. If the Falcons don't take Kyle Pitts, could Kyle Pitts drop to, you know, just barely around the top 10 or even outside of that?
Keep dreaming, Brady. No, I don't think he's dropping. I think it'd be crazy if he made it past the top six. Even if he does drop from four, I wouldn't be surprised to see Cincinnati take him right at five. And then I would be mind blown if he goes past the Dolphins at six. This guy is pretty clearly the best non-quarterback in this draft, and I expect one of those three teams to pound.
A guy can dream, right? We can certainly think about it. The more I hear from him, too, I mean, you can watch all the film you want, but you just get a sense about guys sometimes, watching how they interact with the media, watching the things that they say. I would love to see Kyle Pitts play for the Broncos. That's my dream scenario right there.
It's the ultimate luxury pick, but it would also really help the Broncos. And, I mean, just could you imagine all of the weapons that the Broncos would have? Not only a Pro Bowl running back, but then you'd have two first-round picks at tight end. You'd have a Pro Bowl receiver in Cortland Sutton. You'd have a first-round pick in Jerry Jeudy. You'd have a second-round pick in K.J. Hamler. I mean, the problem would be getting all of these guys on the field, and then there'd be a massive problem for every single defense you face.
Yeah, no question, man. This is going to be interesting for sure. I can't wait for the draft tomorrow. Zach, we might be reaching out to you again tomorrow, setting this thing up, but we appreciate your time. We know you have been extremely busy with this news, and love what you guys do, and we'll look to catch up with you maybe later this week.
Brady, I absolutely love it. Let's go, baby. We're almost there.
I am ready, man. I am just, I'm going to get a couple. I'm not going to be working that draft, so I'm going to get a couple of beverages. I hope I'm coherent by pick number 9.
We'll see. Maybe pick number 6.
I could be. Who knows? But by pick number 3, this thing could get out. When we start with the first Roger Goodell hug, I might be already done. I don't know. We'll see, man. It's going to get crazy.
Yeah, how many shots is that on the drinking game?
Hey, you got to rate the awkward scale of the hug. If it's like a 10, you got to take 3 shots or something like that. Boy, we could be gone.
You're probably taking 3 then.
Zach, appreciate you, my man. We'll be looking out for you, DNVR Broncos, on your Twitter account as well. And I know you guys will be providing good stuff throughout the day today.
Right. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Woo! This is fun, isn't it? This is an absolute blast. Tomorrow is going to be a great time. Dixon says, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't move the needle. Basically another Keenum or Flacco type. I'm not going to go Flacco type. I mean, how old did I say Bridgewater was? Is he 29?
That's what you said, yeah.
Flacco, how old's Flacco? When we got him, he was in his 30s, wasn't he? Mid-30s?
Like 45.
He's like 87, I think.
87 years old.
Keenum was a flash in the pan. I mean, he was a flash in the pan that year. Bridgewater's good when he's on the field. He's a good quarterback when he's on the field. To me, there's no loss. What's the loss here? The Panthers are paying for him. You didn't have to give up anything for him. You gave a 6-round pick. That's 100% the right move to make. So, yeah, you might not be walking down the street whistling and singing and jumping and clapping, but you improved your quarterback depth chart for nothing. Whether Bridgewater works out or not, he's better than your other. He's better than Rippon, even though I like Rippon. I liked his college career, but Bridgewater has a better pedigree than Rippon does. So you improved your depth chart there. I like it. I don't want to go nine. If Justin Fields is there at nine, I'm going there. I have to. But outside of that, you're not going to get aggressive, man. I don't see him moving up. I think the point is, and I think Dixon brought it up, is the Panthers could be the game changer here. They take a quarterback at eight. And if they do, I mean, it'd be Justin Fields, because we're hearing Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Jags, Jets, Gonzo. 49ers, we believe they like Mac Jones and Trey Lance. They don't like Fields. They like Mac Jones and Trey Lance. So I think Niners go Mac Jones. I think the Falcons are either going to go Kyle Pitts or Trey Lance. Darn good chance they go Kyle Pitts, but I see four quarterbacks going. And then what do the Bengals do? Do they go with a tight end and help Burrow out and get a stud tight end? Jamar Chase is damn good. Devonta Smith's damn good. There's some great wide receivers in this draft class, too. So, I mean, I know I sound like I'm dreaming, but I kind of could see Kyle Pitts drop a little bit. I don't know that he gets past six, though. The question will probably be, Dolphins, do you take a stud wide receiver or a stud tight end? A once-in-a-lifetime tight end or a pretty good wide receiver? Depends on what you feel your biggest need is. Whew, 35 minutes after the hour, that's the big story, no question about it. Teddy Bridgewater, a Denver Broncos, a member of the Denver Broncos. We didn't even talk about the Rockies' win last night. They go to extra innings and some monster home runs. We'll get to that coming back. More on the Jeff Breidich situation, which was the big news, but it's still a Broncos state. Teddy Bridgewater comes to Denver. That's bigger news than general manager stepping down for the Rockies. We'll be right back. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Here's Ryan McMahon with Daza still at second in a 4-4 game in the 10th. 0-1 pitch, hit in the air, right center field, all the way back, and it is over and out of here! Two-run homer for Ryan McMahon on a shot to right center. Crone with a pair of walks, a pair of runs scored, and he hits it in the air, deep right field. Back it goes! Another one! Over and out of here! Back to back with McMahon. CJ Crone with his fourth of the season.
Ryan McMahon and CJ Crone. Wow! Rockies win in one extra inning, 7-5 over San Francisco. The Rocks sitting at 9-14. First road win of the season. I think you predicted they'd beat San Francisco, but you flipped it.
Flip-flopped.
Yeah. You said they'd beat them at some point.
Yeah. You know, it's just like my Broncos record. 12-5, 5-12.
You got the number right. Yeah. It doesn't matter how you jumble it. At the end of the day, just as long as the number's right.
Yep.
Yeah, Rocks win. Get it done, man. I mean, overall, you got to be happy with the starting pitching. I mean, Chichi Gonzalez goes five innings. Not a terrible game, not a great game, but you know, your bullpen for the most part held it down. Barden gave up that run late, of course, or Bard, excuse me, gave up that run late. But other than that, Rocks get the dub. Nice game overall. Got the rubber match coming up tonight. See if they win their third series in a row. It's kind of fun. It just feels like pressure is not really on this team right now, especially now with Breidich gone. I put my deep thoughts from a wandering mind together, and I just said, hey, those of you that are boycotting the Rockies, you might want to hang on to those protest signs because nothing has changed in the big picture. And what I mean by that, Dan O'Dowd, who I have a lot of respect for, and I think people in the baseball world have a lot of respect for him. But it is what it is. He was the GM for the Rockies for 15 years. Four winning seasons. Now, produced that World Series run, which is arguably the greatest moment. Probably the greatest season in Rockies history. But Breidich perhaps could be the greatest stretch in Rockies history, back-to-back playoffs. So the point is, Dan O'Dowd, four losing seasons in a row. Dick Montfort finally pulls the trigger. He was so loyal to O'Dowd. Guy Vett was there. Remember, they played musical chairs and moved guys around. Bill Guy Vett was there. Dick finally moves on from those guys. Well, he elevates Jeff Breidich, who was the head of player development. They bring him in from that part of this losing culture that you've had. And so you just elevate Jeff Breidich to GM, which, you know, in Dick Montfort's defense, they ended up doing okay for a while with Breidich. He was kind of building things up for a year or two. And then, of course, they go to the playoffs 2 years in a row, starts building a decent, at least some names for the starting pitching staff. But as we all know, being a general manager is being good with your players. It's not just signing and moving and trading. It's you got to make these guys feel good about being there. That's part of your job. It's a general manager job at a sports for a sports club. But that's at the end of the day, a general manager's job is to make sure everybody's happy with what they're doing. And Breidich couldn't do that. He wasn't good at it. So my fear here, Colfax, is he going to do it again? Now, you look at the primary candidates for this spot right now. I'm not going to talk too much about the candidates outside of what this team's going to be looking at, but they are going to go with an interim GM at this stage. And listen, you know, it's going to be guys that he likes. Zach Rosenthal, Bill Schmidt, scouting director Bill Schmidt, assistant GM Zach Rosenthal. They're going to be one of those guys who's going to be the interim GM, and they're probably going to be putting their name in the hat for the job. And I write about this in my Deep Thoughts from a Wandering Mind blog. It's available at thewholeshow.com. I caution fans. Who is Dick Montfort? He's not a bad guy. He's a loyal guy. He's a loyal guy, probably to a fault. When he hires someone that he believes in them. He will give them the benefit of the doubt time and time again. A question I ask, what would have happened if Dick would have fired or moved on from Jeff Breidich when he got wind of the Nolan Arenado thing? Now, odds are Nolan wanted gone because of what we learned with the videos and all that stuff, that Nolan wanted to go somewhere that was like a proven good team. And that's all said and done. We don't have to keep going back there. My whole point to a lot of you Rockies fans is your little boycott that you went on. If you're now flopping back over to the good side and you're watching Rockies now and you watched that exciting game last night, that's great. There's plenty of room to watch the Rockies. I would never discourage someone from rooting for their teams. My point with the title of this is just because you moved on and you moved on from Breidich, that doesn't mean that Dick Montfort's decision-making process still won't take hold of what this team does. Now, yes, moving Fiesel up to president of operations does indicate that Dick Montfort's going to take a step back. But we don't know that for sure yet. The only way this works out in my mind, Colfax, and I don't even know who that name's going to be, and I don't even know that I care. You need to bring a fresh set of eyes into this organization. Not somebody who's been underneath Jeff Breidich as his assistant GM. Not somebody that's been director of scouting that's also answering to Breidich, because they might have some of the same philosophies. They might have different ideas of how to do things, but they might still have some of those same philosophies. Montfort needs to be loyal to one group, and that's the fans. You owe it to the fans to kind of blow this thing up, shake it up. Bring in somebody from the outside with a fresh set of eyes. Even the Duke of Denver, John Elway, Denver's son, Colorado's first son, said, I need to take a step back and elevate my position, of course, but I do need to bring a fresh set of eyes in here. And George Payton's that guy. He has no connections to Drew Locke. He has no connections to Vic Fangio. He has no connections to what the Broncos were doing. He had no connection with Von Miller. These were all his fresh set of eyes coming in, deciding what needs to be done from a football perspective, not from a personal perspective. That's what Dick Montfort needs to do. So I caution you, watch the Rockies, sure, but don't pretend that it's because your boycott has lifted. Just say, you know what, I'm tired of not watching the Rockies. I want to watch the Rockies. I want to support them. Don't claim that Dick Monfort has solved all of your problems yet. He might. He might. I hope he does. But if Zach Rosenthal, nothing against Zach Rosenthal, but if Zach Rosenthal is the next GM for the Rockies, what makes you believe it's going to be any different than O'Dowd, Jeff Breidich? Because they're from the same regime. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. What's on tonight? Ooh, it is a big Wednesday night in the National Basketball Association. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Rockies Giants tonight, 7 o'clock pregame coverage, and 7:45 for the rubber match. Can the Rockies make it three series in a row? Two game series, I guess, against Houston. Beat the Phillies over the weekend and have an opportunity to make it to three series in a row. So, I mean, pretty cool time for the Rocks, at least at this stage, early in the season. I don't think it's a colossal failure just yet. I think we're kind of optimistic, or you're just waiting for the wheels to really fall off. Avs Golden Knights tonight, 7:30 on NBC Sports Network. That's going to be an amazing game as well. Let's see, Nuggets Pelicans tonight, 7 o'clock. Nuggets really need to win that game. Meanwhile, going on around the NBA, just a notable game, 8 o'clock on ESPN tonight, you have the Clippers and the Suns. I mean, ideally, yeah, sure, have the you root for the Suns to win, but if the Suns lose, then you're two games behind both of them, which means you might have a better shot at reclaiming or at claiming that number two spot. If the Clippers lose, the Nuggets will be a game behind the Clippers, and then they play each other on Saturday. So look out. Heck of an opportunity for tonight for the Denver Nuggets. Gotta win, though. You can't have a drop game. No Will Barton tonight, no Monte Morris. So gonna continue to need guys to step up for the Nuggets as they make their final push for seeding. And hey, man, I'd rather not play the Lakers in the first round. If I had to pick, I'd rather not. If they play them, then, hey, we get ready. We root for this team, and we see what happens. But if we can avoid it, yeah, I'd try to avoid it as much as possible. That's going to do it for us. It's Wednesday. 13 Days, 13 Teams continues with coverage for Roosevelt High School baseball preseason coverage. The Block Party shortly after that. It's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.